So here's the deal. The United Church of Canada, we do a lot of things quite well. But I think as a denomination, like many others, we get terrified when we hear the book of Revelation. Quite frankly, we'd much rather just stop after the Gospel according to John and say we're good. I get it. I was at a worship symposium in seminary at Calvin College, and it's where a bunch of us worship nerds go to learn how to make communion fun. The theme that year, Revelation, being Christ's church in an apocalyptic world. Lots of the blood of the Lamb and the great throne room and flaming swords. And I didn't get to the dragon bit, but there's at least a few bits here that mention dragons. It's a rather grim idea of the destruction of a world full of sin and the creation of something new. The reading that we just looked at with the new heaven and new earth is, quite frankly, in my professional opinion, the tamest and most sane-sounding part of this entire book. We are excellent in the United Church at love your neighbor. We are down with that. We are good with visiting the prisoner. We are excellent at feeding the poor. But when we want to talk about things like the end of the world, the possibility that all of our hope and duct tape and prayers is not going to work, that's, well, overwhelming. And I'm sure some of you wished you were at last week's sermon when we talked about Martha and Mary. But this is what we do. Humans are fixers. It's in our nature. We must fill over the cracks with spackle. We need to put tape on everything. There's a reason that almost every single person here has a roll of duct tape at home. It's not because we use it to DIY things. It's because we like holding things together. We see the cracks and fill them. We see the stains and paint them over. We see the scars and cover them. Or if we're like my dad's dog, we see the scratch that we make on someone and shove 10 squeaky toys at that person because that will fix things. It did. He was cute. I ask us to be brave today. I ask us to look at, for some of us, the most uncomfortable book in the whole Bible. And I ask us to do it together, because nothing worth doing well is worth doing alone. Revelation is not the only time humans explore the apocalypse. Indeed, we have done this since we have realized there's an end to things, including us. Myths from around the world talk about the end of the mortal world. Including in Norse lore, we have Ragnarok. It wasn't just a Marvel film. I know that some of my mythology buffs here are pointing out the errors in that movie. There's the cyclical creation and destruction and recreation that we see in Buddhist and Hindu teachings, that there is no end, just another beginning. We look at Islam's Day of Judgment, when God will come and make sure that all is well, that those who have performed good deeds see just rewards. And there's several indigenous cultures throughout the Americas that talk of a day when the old gods will come back and they will serve justice. In more modern times, we still have these myths. We just put different names on them. Godzilla comes out of the post-World War II era from a Japan that sees the first and most devastating side effects of nuclear weaponry. The 60s and 70s started a growth in alien invasion-related invasion of the body snatchers. The idea of the rise of communism and Russia invading in the Cold War, causing concern. And as many First Nation critics have pointed out, the idea that white people will be treated the way that we treated the countries we invaded. In the 80s, we moved towards robots as machinery becomes more complex, as computers become more available. We have the Terminator. Yes, the reminder that it might not be an outside thing that destroys us, but something that we create. In the 2000s, we saw the rise of the zombie genre. Yes, George Romero started it and perfected it, but his was more of a concern about consumerism, that we all become mindless zombies around shopping malls. This is a specific one where we create illnesses that we cannot cure. We create epidemics that we cannot stop. And so how would the common man or woman or child deal when our neighbor doesn't just want to give us a hug but gnaw our craniums? It's no coincidence that The Walking Dead came out 9 months after the H1N1 virus was found in North America. And now we have apocalyptic films based on environmental disasters. These have always been a favorite, the occasional flood, forest fire, tornadoes, but this time it seems to be the realization that what we are doing is dooming us to a world of either massive flooding or forest fires or whatever reason that we must either leave the earth or become mole people under the crust. Hard-hitting films like The Day After Tomorrow, Evan Almighty, Snowpiercer, which was critically acclaimed, and the one that will always have a special place in my heart, the Sharknado series. It's literally tornadoes with sharks spinning around in them. It's not that complicated. They all come with the idea that we have hit the earth too hard. She is hitting back, and we will not make it through. It scratches an itch for people. It helps us process this possibility that we will not make it through whatever's coming next, because it's not us that we're dealing with, it's imaginary characters that are avoiding the latest ice age or the latest hammerhead coming out of a twister. It was great. We are getting closer to that edge, as I'm sure many of us know. The UN, along with scientists and activists around the world, have been telling us we have 100 years to turn around climate change. Make that 70 years. No, wait, it's 50 now. Now it's 40, and it's 30, it's 10, it's 11 years. Some are saying it's too late. The changes, the devastation is irreversible. And now we have to seriously consider possibility that nothing we do works. The water is too warm, and there's now more plastic in the water than fish. Ice caps are melting faster than a snow cone in the desert, and those deserts are becoming harder and harder to survive. Animals and people and plants and all creation is suffering. The reality of what generations of overconsumerism and pollution and greed and the mindset that we see in the Genesis reading, this is ours to domain, ours to conquer. It's here to serve us. When cultures around the world know that that's not true, this is ours to care for. Us, we are required to be stewards, not masters. We're required to be partners, not conquerors. Of course, not to mention that those that will be hit hardest are those that are dealing with climate change the most, are the ones that are making the least ecological impact. Those in the global south, those in poverty. It's not the impoverished people flying jet planes every week. Those with disabilities that make it harder and harder to breathe. The young and the old. The overturning of our world is not just a possibility. It's happening and has been for some time. So, where do we go with this? I can't just say amen and God help us all and walk out the door. Where's love? Where's hope? Where's God? Of all of the end of the world movies out there, my favorite is WALL-E. Stick with me. Several hundred years from now, humans have left Earth entirely on a cruise ship. They'll come back in a few hundred years. Who knows? WALL-E, the cutest little robot you ever did see, is one of thousands assigned to tidy up all the garbage we left behind. He's solar-powered, he has giant eyes, and he loves little boxes. That's all you need to know. He meets a friend, coincidentally named Eve, whose job is to figure out if Earth is habitable again, testing for life, seeing what signs there are that we can return. The movie's over 10 years old, so I will spoil it, and it's done by Pixar, so you know there's a happy ending. There is life on Earth. The humans can return. Things start growing again. The humans commit to being stewards for the Earth, not just users. This is our hope, and this is our grace, that even in the midst of pain and suffering, things can grow. It takes an awful lot of dirt for plants to find root. That amidst destruction, God can be found. God never abandoned Earth. God never abandoned the humans on the cruise ship. God never even abandoned WALL-E. God is there in every inch of this story, recreating and building piece by piece. While no one, not even adorable animated robots, can predict the future will be safe and comfortable, God is working towards this vision, a new earth, a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. The thirsty will get the clean water they need, and the hungry will get the fresh food they desire. The lonely will find companionship and love. The hurt will heal their wounds, and the suffering suffer no more. That is the most common phrase in Revelation, "Uk eti," no more. No more, my friends, no more war or hatred or pollution or poisoning our earth. No more oil spills or rainforest clearing that endangers all life in it. No more dumping trash into a country that had no business taking that trash in the first place. No more hatred, racism, homophobia, or tyrants that only see pests and rats when they need to be seeing children. No more. What we will get is a city of love, of gold, of water flowing through, of food growing high, where children can live in peace and adults can foster, where the elderly are treated with respect and not as burdens. Revelation is very much about the destruction of the old. Make no mistake. While the destruction from flaming swords and dragons and the blood of the Lamb is often decidedly God-ordained in nature, I see it being a consequence of our own environmental actions. We're going to get there. The world will change, and we don't know what's going to be on the other side, but I can guarantee on the other side is God. No wall, no bridge, no door, no treaty, no environmental disaster will block God from being with us. This is not the first time the world has ended, my friends. The fall of Rome, the Black Plague, the Spanish flu, industrialization, modernization, nuclearization have all ended a form of this world. I promise God will be with us as we walk through this together. We're not going back to the way it was. Never have been, never will. But we will be able to do what God called us to do. Love and serve others. Care for this earth as stewards. And remember, above all else, that this is not our world. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God. Amen.